Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice.
Good morning. Thank you for listening to the radio program. It's brought to you by the members of the Main Street Church of Christ. We meet in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, 240 West Main Street. Times of meeting, Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for a two-hour period of worship. We have a Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And you can visit our website, mountsterlingchurch.com, if you'd like more information. Or better yet, you can come and visit with us and see what we are doing as we attempt to worship our God in an acceptable manner. Recently in a Bible class, and the teacher was asking the question, what are we grateful for? What are we thankful for? And can we ever be grateful enough? So the teacher had us all write down on a piece of paper things that we were thankful for. And after about 10 minutes, we kind of went around the room and compared what we'd written. And most of us wrote things that were very similar. We were thankful that we were God's children. We were thankful that Jesus had come and shown us a way. And he was the way and the truth and the life. And he took our place and bore our sins. We're thankful for the avenue of prayer that we can come to God in. We're thankful for God's word, the revealed word. That guides us in our path as we attempt to serve God. And we're thankful for our families. We're thankful for those who have helped us in this lifetime. And when we were struggling or when we needed help and couldn't do certain things, and people stepped up and helped us. I'd like to look at what the Bible says about being thankful. Psalm 30 and verse 4, the writer said, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Oftentimes you will see praise and thanksgiving in the same sentence in the Bible, especially in the book of Psalms. You see that quite often. Psalm 106 and verse 1, praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. As a boy, I remember at the First Baptist Church when they were going to take up an offering Sunday morning, I believe they would always sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And that's the truth, isn't it? As we as Christians believe that these blessings come from the Lord. In the book of Luke, in the 17th chapter, we read in verse 11, beginning, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So many times we fail to thank those who have done things for us. And this man is a perfect example of someone who realized that Jesus had healed him and that he had been made well. And he came back. to thank the Lord. In the Roman letter, Paul, in the 16th chapter, is commending some of the saints. And he says in verse 3, Romans 16, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned prominently in the New Testament. And notice what he says, that they were willing to lay down their lives, risk their lives for Paul's life. And he gave thanks for that. And not only he, but all the churches of the Gentiles must have known and recognized the faithfulness of this couple. And for someone to risk your life or their life for your life certainly would be worthy of thanksgiving. Interesting passage in Luke chapter 18. And we look at it, and it's the two men who went to the temple to pray. But an interesting part of this, in this parable, is that one individual went up to pray there in beginning verse 9 of Luke 18. They were in the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican, or tax collector, is another term. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector." Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought to yourself, "I'm thankful I'm not like other men"? We need to be very careful. This man was making a judgment on individuals. Especially, he's pointing out the tax collector. "I'm so glad I'm not like him." And then began to boast to God of what he had done. Fasted twice a week, gave tithes. That's his story, and I don't doubt it's not true. But you know, in comparison, Jesus said there's two men that went in the temple to pray, and one of them went down to his house justified. He had humbled himself. That was the publican. He said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." The other man, the one who said, "I'm glad I'm not like this man," what happened to him? He was abased. He exalted himself. But he will be humbled. So we need to be careful making comparisons or judgments. What are we thankful for? Let's just be thankful for what we do have and what we can become with God's help through his Son, Jesus Christ. There's some challenges about giving thanks. As we noted, we note in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul says to the Thessalonians, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In all circumstances. Whatever circumstance, we sometimes are in situations that we would not like to be in, that are difficult, that are stressful, that are hard on us. And he said, you've got to find ways to give thanks in every circumstance of life that you find yourself in. I've got a way to go there. Maybe a lot of people do. To the Ephesians, he would say basically the same things in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. He said, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for everything. Give thanks for the good things that we have received from the Lord. But also be able and willing to give thanks for every circumstance that we find ourselves in. Because there has to be something in those circumstances that can draw us closer to the Lord, even though at that time of the circumstance we are so far from thinking about this is good. And the Apostle Paul had that thorn in the flesh, and he besought the Lord for it to be removed. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. It was a lesson. Some of the hardest lessons we learn are when under the most difficult circumstances. But as my father-in-law used to say, try to turn everything to good account. There are people who do not give God thanks. They do not glorify him. Romans, first chapter, 21. Writer says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Now, if we don't honor God or give God thanks, what direction are we headed in? He said, they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So, draw close to the Lord. He said, recognize him. And Paul used this approach when he was speaking to Gentiles. For example, in Acts chapter 14, he's at Lystra. He's there with Barnabas. And there is a crippled man. And Paul says, stand up on your feet. And the man sprang up and began to walk. And the crowd was amazed. And they thought that the gods had come down in the likeness of men. Barnabas, they call Zeus, and Paul Hermes. Now, Paul had to say, we are men just like you. We have a nature just like yours. But we are bringing you good news that you should turn from these vain things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. In verse 16 of this Acts 14, he says, in past generations, God allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Well, aren't those great blessings? We take advantage. We can go to the grocery stores, we can go to our gardens, we can go to the farmers markets, and we can find vegetables around here. We can find fruit around here, all kinds of food. And we ought to be glad for that, because a lot of people in this world don't have that opportunity. The writer Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So almost all of our prayers that I read about and the men try to pray is thankful. We are thankful for God. And then we let our requests be made known to him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Paul says. The writer Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, if then, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of the Lord. Now the King James uses this word. He says, if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is thanksworthy in the sight of the Lord. It's almost as if he's saying, God is thanking you for what you've done. You have done good and you have been persecuted. You have suffered something for your faith and yet you have not given up. You have endured. And as if God is basically saying, well done. You've met a test. You've met a trial. And you've suffered for doing what was right. You've done it for Christ's sake. And that is thankworthy. Just another thought or two here that we have. Remember when our kids were in chorus? My kids were in high school at Montgomery County. And there in chorus, Ashley Tyree was the choir director. And I remember that almost every concert or activity that the chorus, the choir engaged in, he would close those by, "The Lord bless and keep you." And this is found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And that's going to be one of the songs that we close with as we think about what we need to be thankful for. Even the most difficult circumstances, we realize that nobody probably had much more difficult times than Job did. And when his circumstances got so bad, his wife would say, "Curse God and die." And Job would not do that. And Job endured that difficult time. And the Lord rewarded him. The Lord blessed him. Our prayer would be that we be to be more thankful. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And realize that in Christ Jesus, there is this great victory that awaits those who are faithful unto death. He promises a crown of life. So count your blessings. I need to be more careful about what I am thinking about when I'm in difficult circumstances. There needs to be something there in that circumstance that either frustrates me or I don't see any way out, that I can be thankful that God will not place upon me more than I'm able to bear. Appreciate your listening to the program for the Main Street Church of Christ. This is Gist Howell. Thank you.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes Brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Begin by finding a comfortable, relaxed position. Let out whatever stress is in your body. It could be from the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library, or when you thought chaperoning the school dance meant actually dancing in the school dance. Whatever it is, let it go. The fire you started with that experimental dinner, let it go. The time you drove away from the gas pump with the gas pump, let it go. Three, very relaxed. Two, there you go. One.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The
only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
FM and AM 1150 WMST.